year when I was here that Muslims have a problem with understanding beauty, right? We think, and it's not just Muslims, in the Western society there's a problem too. In this society, beauty and seduction are almost synonymous, right? Like a person who's very beautiful has to try to behave in a seductive way, male or female. And it's worse with women, but today men are doing the same thing. Like if you walk past, there's billboards of men in the same poses. Like what's, you know. Anyways, there's, it's supposed to be, it's packaged in that way. There was like a billboard that said, if you've got it, flaunt it. If you don't, get it. And it was for like a gym. So this idea that if you have some kind of gift of beauty, then it has to be shoved into everyone's face, and it has to be used for, to gather attention. And in Islam, being beautiful is not a wrong intention. There was a companion who said something to the Prophet ﷺ, which is, it's like, I'm finding it hard to say, because in Arabic it's hilarious. There's a companion who comes to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and he says, قَدْ قُسِمَ لِي مِنَ الْجَمَالِ مَا تَرَى. He said, oh, basically, beauty has been distributed upon me like what you see, meaning I am just so good looking. He tells the Prophet ﷺ this, and he says, is this arrogance that like I know that I'm good looking and I like for other people to know that I'm good looking? And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, no, arrogance is batar al-haq wa ghamt al-nas. It's to reject the truth when it comes to you and to look down upon people. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلُ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, that Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Beauty is a very important spiritual concept in Islam. And a man or a woman can and should feel like before they leave the house, they should look presentable, they should have a beautiful appearance. There's nothing that is wrong with this concept, but they should never intend seduction, because seduction is harm. And we have to separate the two in a society that doesn't separate the two. And we have to separate the two even in Eastern cultures that don't separate the two. All right, so you separate the two, in that every morning a sister, when she's wearing her clothing, she should feel beautiful, even with hijab, even with, you know, hijab is not about covering beauty, as we call that. Hijab is redefining what beauty is. Hijab is saying, I'm gonna do what is beautiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you adorn yourself with clothing that is beautiful, and you should feel beautiful in your hijab, but you should not feel sexy. And that's a different concept. That's a different concept altogether. And that's ugly, and that's seductive, and that's harmful. Seduction as a concept is something where the person who is seeking to do it is seeking to control someone else's behavior. It's not goodwill. Goodwill comes from a desire to give and let people be good and to be in a good state, and it's consideration. It's wanting them to be safe. It's wanting them to be protected. That's goodwill. Seduction is, I want this person to be affected by me in a way where I can control, you know, that interaction. As an example, I like to use sometimes with young people is in the movie Lord of the Rings. What does the elf queen, what is it, Lady Galadriel? What does the elf queen say when they put the ring of power, when Frodo puts the ring of power in her hand? What does she say? Essentially, the ring represents the voice of Shaitan, right? What is for sisters, what is our enemy telling us? What is our enemy tempting us with? I want all men to look at me and despair. That is the voice of Shaitan. It's seduction. And it comes from needing to have power over other people. And it is not even like a more benign intention would be that a sister just wants to get married and have a spouse. That's a benign intention. But this is, I don't even care about you, but I want you to be desperate for me. That is evil. That is quintessentially evil. And that's, you know, a society that's, again, the Western society really promotes the culture of seduction. And it promotes the seducers, you know, that so-and-so can be this, you know, they're so powerful because they can do this female actress or that male actor. And we are the opposite. We have a completely different paradigm. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said that every religion has a distinct characteristic, and the distinct characteristic of Islam is haya. So again, haya coming from goodwill, from actually not wanting to harm creation, from wanting that creation to be at peace with it, with its brother and its sister. And that doesn't mean that if a person, again, because everything has to be, this is like a very, you know, thick topic. If someone is not intending to be seductive and someone else is attracted to them, that's not your fault. And it happened repeatedly in the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and he never blamed the woman that other people were attracted to. So, but at the same time, that woman should not intend to be that way. So literally, we should, before you leave the house, to make the dua, oh Allah, do not make me be a source of harm for anyone in your creation, and do not let anyone in your creation be a source of harm for me. You know, this is embodying, working on this in, on the internal level. Like when we go out, work on the intention, this will clear up 90% of everything else that follows. Number two is to make your interaction purposeful and professional. So when we're dealing with the opposite gender, to that we should have a reason to interact. It's not a complete free-for-all. It's not like, hey, the MSA is getting together, we're just going to, like, everyone, I don't know, do nothing but just be together for no reason. I'm not saying MSAs should not get together, brothers and sisters should not work together, but there should be purposes, right? So we're organizing an event. This is a purpose to come together around. We are discussing a chapter that for our halaqah that we're going to cover together. This is a positive purpose to come around. Even interacting with one another, saying, you know, how are you? How's your family? This is all okay. You know, it's Islam is, there's, if you look at the interactions of the companions, subhanAllah, you would find that they're much more fluid and organic, but you do have this quality of goodwill, that people know their boundaries when they're talking to each other, and because it's coming from a place of actual consideration, subhanAllah, that there's not a need to be so, you know, scared or paranoid in the interaction. We're scared and we're paranoid, usually because we don't know, we're speaking to people of different backgrounds and we're so afraid of being misperceived as too friendly, right? Or I don't want the sister to think I want to marry her, or I don't want the brother to think I want to marry him, but I just want to ask him, how was your exam? You know? So just, if you understand the Sharia, you can ask him, how was your exam? And if you do it with the right intention, subhanAllah, this is another thing I've noticed, even some of the most shy people, when you deal with them with a good intention and a good manner, they are welcoming of that interaction. And they don't feel that someone has invaded their personal space. Number three is to cover our nakedness, to cover the awrah. And I won't go through the conditions of, you know, that, but it's one of the conditions. Number four is that we lower our gaze from two things. You lower your gaze when what you're looking upon is attractive to you, even if the awrah is covered. And you also lower your gaze from, the outer that's uncovered. Sorry, I haven't had my coffee this morning. This is the first talk I'm doing without coffee, and you guys are my victims. The fifth is to keep the interaction public. So to make sure that you're not secluded in some place. You know, there's sometimes MSA people, sister will be like, oh, I'll go pick up my books from your apartment. No, don't do that. Because that even if it's like somewhat public, you know, it has like a question mark over it, because it's not so public. Like this conference is public, on campus at a restaurant or in the library is public. But sometimes, you know, if you find yourself, and this is what a sister had mentioned to me, she was getting notes from her brother and he was like, oh yeah, that's in the trunk of my car. She goes out to the parking lot. They're the only two people in the parking lot in her university because everyone else was gone. And that was, it's technically an outside space. She didn't technically, you know, break a rule, but it's one of those things that it's like a we avoid the shubuhat, we avoid the doubtful things. And this leads to number six, which is to protect your reputation. So this is where culture plays a role. So there are certain things in this society that are not considered shameful or taboo. But in the East, they're considered shameful and taboo. And those particular things are not necessarily haram. Okay, so I'll give you an example. In Afghanistan, the idea of young people going to a cinema was like the most taboo thing ever. Like it was so taboo, it was so bad. And in kindergarten, we had a field trip, they wanted to take us, all the five-year-olds, to go and watch Pinocchio in the movie theater. And my mom was like, over my dead body, my five-year-old will never step foot in a movie theater watching Pinocchio because of this, you know, thing that was in Afghanistan. She had, in Afghanistan, it was a completely different scenario. People would use the dark theater to do bad things, you know. So she just, it was a misperception, I guess, of the context. So that was not necessarily something that was going to ruin my reputation as a five-year-old. But there are definitely things that it would, right? So when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was speaking to one of his wives and it was dark and a man is walking, one of the companions is walking by, he actually clarifies to the companion, this is my wife. And they're like, how could we ever think anything bad of you? And the Prophet ﷺ says, because the shaitan runs through every vein. You know, meaning that even the Prophet protected his reputation and protected the reputation of his wife. So sometimes if you hear your parents say you have to protect your reputation, it's not all wrong, because the Prophet ﷺ did it. But there are extremes. Sometimes a person can take that to an extreme where they distort what Islam is. Number 7 is no touching, should be obvious. Number 8, speak in a decent manner. Again, if we have the right intentions, the tone of voice will follow. And number 10 is to ensure your circumstances are safe. So there are, I don't want to really go into it here, it's not in the article, but there are unfortunate situations of people who have been harmed because they interacted with people on a basis of trust that was not earned. And so it's always important to ensure our circumstances are safe so that we are not harmed in that way. So these are the 10 guidelines, and I hope inshallah we have time for question and answer. I hope I didn't confuse anyone. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.